We want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Thank you, Jimmy, for that good testimony this morning. I was thinking about the song that they sung when the beggar met the king. And I look across this room today, and most of us were beggars when the Lord found us. We really had nothing to offer Him. And I know, Brother Bud, maybe you're a little ashamed of it, but I think about Brother Bud. He was picking in a honky-tonk man in Madisonville. Was it on Friday or Saturday, Brother Bud?
Saturday
night. At the midnight hour, the Lord spoke to him. Man, you think what a great God we have that would venture into a hellhole like that. Speak to an old sinner that wanted nothing to do with him. Where would we be without the Lord today? Some of you would be laying in the gutter with urine and vomit on you. Some of you would be in the drug culture, and some would be here and be there. And some of us would be in hell today, were it not for the great Savior. But aren't you glad He passed by and changed your life? Well, glory to God. You know why He could do that? Because He's alive.
He's alive.
That's what makes our Savior, our salvation different than the other religions. We serve a living Savior today. A living Savior. Well, it's good to be saved. It's good to hear them songs. Brother Allen, I was hoping you would have sung, "Oh, What a Savior." What a Savior we have. If you don't know Him today, if you've missed knowing me, you've not missed anything. But if you miss knowing Him, you missed it all. You missed it all. Well, just feel the good, sweet Spirit of God with us today. I sure am glad I'm saved. I'd hate to think this world was all that there was. Well, I want to try to preach to you for a little bit on the importance of the resurrection. I'm probably preaching to the choir. We're going to look in 1 Corinthians 15, the whole chapter, just about deals with this idea of the resurrection, just about all of it. Deals with that. And I surely can't preach all of that. I know that. But I do want to pray before I begin. We're going to jump around, and I'm going to establish a few truths to you before we begin. The older I get, the more I realize many times there has to be a foundation for the message. I know the foundation's the Word of God, but there has to be some preliminary truths, and many of you all know those, but nevertheless, I feel like that's what God would have for us to do this morning. Let us pray real quick before we begin. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for the good, sweet Spirit that I felt this morning. I thank You, Father. I just thank You for being the God that You are and loving no good sinners. Thank You, Father, for loving me, for saving me and keeping me. Thank You, Lord. Oh, Father, I ask You to help me now as we try to expound on Your Word for a little while. Open the hearts of the hearers and give me clarity of speech and clarity of thought. And Father, I ask You to be glorified. It's critical for help today that You must increase and I must decrease. Please help that to be so. Please, Father, make me sufficient for the hour. Preach through me. If there's any unconfessed sin in my life, please forgive me. Help us now. Do what needs doing. And I'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, it is a fact that our Savior rose again. I don't think Surely in this crowd, I don't have to try to prove that to you. But I want to go to Luke chapter number 24. There's a little phrase. This little account that is given is one of my favorites for a particular line that is recorded in the Scriptures. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 24, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them," and here's the phrase that's so precious to me, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" I love that phrase this morning. "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" We seek for the Lord in a lot of places. My, He's a living Lord today. He's not out here in these dead places of the world. Verse number 6, "He's not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man," verse 7, "saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered His words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles." And here's a verse I kept reading because I wanted to get to verse number 11. "And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not." And I read that for you this morning. This is those that were closely following the Lord, and they're struggling with the truth that He rose from the dead. And the point I'm trying to make, that even though we believe that, those of you who are saved, there are yet many out there who do not believe that you can be resurrected or live after you die. We've ran into many in Blount County, not many, some in Blount County that say this: when you're dead, you're just dead. You're just like an animal. When you're gone, you're gone. But my, we know that is not so. There is life after death. Amen. And our Savior did arise in bodily form. He arose. And so, regardless of what happened, the point I want to make to you this morning is there was a struggle even with the believers, even with the apostles, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. And you can go over, I don't know, maybe for the sake of time, I don't need to do this, but if you were to go over to Acts 17 when Paul was on Mars Hill, they let him talk and tell them about Jesus. In fact, the Epicurean said this when he mentioned Jesus raising from the dead. They called him a babbler. He was foolish. And then it goes on over a little later as he is witnessing before all of those on Mars Hill. And when he came to the resurrection, they set him down because it was like a foolish truth that somebody could live or come back to life after they died. But the fact of the matter is, our Savior did that. You can look in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John's Gospel. They all verify that our Savior is alive. I want you to look in Acts chapter number 1 with me for just a minute. Now, Luke is the writer of the book of Acts, and he's writing to Theophilus of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And verse number 2, it says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he shown himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. That word infallible means no possibility of error. By many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And so after he arose, he was with them 40 days and he was speaking to them, and he showed himself alive by many proofs that there was no possibility there could be an error in what they saw. And so we I guess the point I'm trying to make to you, without a question, our Savior is alive today. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, let me read these to you, and then we'll go on. In chapter 15, the Bible says this: moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Just a fact. Just a fact of life. Christ died for our sins. He came to seek and to save sinners. The Savior came not for righteous people, but for sinners. Aren't you glad of that? You say, why are you so glad of that? Because I was a sinner. I couldn't do right. I wanted to at times. I'd turn over a new leaf, but I could not do right. You know why I could not do right? I did not have anybody to help me do right. But I met Jesus one day, and he moved into my life, and he helps me to do right. Here's the truth in layman terms, in East Tennessee talk: you cannot do right until the Lord makes you right. That's just how it is. And I'm glad he come for sinners. I'm glad he didn't say, I'm coming for the millionaires. I'm coming for the intellectual crowd. I'm coming for those who are morally good. I'm glad he came for sinners. Amen. If you're a sinner, that's why he came. Amen. Well, here's what the Bible says. Let me get back to verse number 3. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Fact of the matter is, he came and he took your sins upon himself, and he went to Calvary. And God, looking down, said sin has to be punished, or he fails to be a righteous God if he ignores sin. And he punished your sins that you really should have been punished for. He punished them in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Part of his punishment on Calvary was for your sins. Amen. He died for your sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried. We're still preaching the gospel. This is still the gospel message. And that he was buried. And that, here it is, he rose again. He rose again. This morning we're serving a living Savior. A living Savior. In fact, he's been with us today. All of you, all who are saved, brought him with you this morning. Because when you get saved, he moves in and takes abode. Now we can grieve him and we can quench him, and we can resist him, and we can do despite to him, and he will seem as if he's not there. But if you're saved, the Holy Spirit is down on the inside. And so he's alive today. Our Savior is alive. And that he arose the third day according to the Scriptures. And I'm trying to prove, give you some Bible proof of his resurrection. And that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter. He went to a troubled saint, first of all, one who had fallen. Peter had denied him and cursed him and no doubt felt like an outcast and a failure and of no value and could never be used again. But aren't you glad the resurrected Savior, part of his ministry, was to go to a broken, a defeated, a whipped servant and to restore him? My, how many times I've had to be restored where I failed and come short. Matter of fact, on a regular basis, I failed and come short. Did you know that could not have happened in Peter's life, nor in my life, nor in those of you all who are trying to live right lives, unless we had a risen Savior? Amen. Forgiveness is because we have a living Savior. Well, he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of 500 brethren at once. Paul is dealing with these Corinthians, and some of them are saying, verse number 12, some of them are saying that there's no resurrection of the dead. I mean, here's some folks in the house of God, and some of them are saying there's no resurrection of the dead, and Paul is trying to convince them that God made it clear there was a resurrection of the dead. He appeared to 500 brethren at one time. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to the two Marys that was at the tomb. The Bible says this, he appeared to 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And so he says, hey, those 500 he appeared to, most of them still alive today. They're still alive. And so he's trying to reason with these, I guess, so-called, it's certainly not saved if you don't believe in a risen Savior, folks who are in the church or around the church or influencing the church, that indeed our Savior rose from the grave. Verse 7, and after that he was seen of James, then of all of the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due season. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. So here's what Paul is trying to get across to these folks who are saying that there's no resurrection from the dead. He's saying to them, hey, if there's no resurrection of the dead, Christ could not have rose, but he did arise, and there were eyewitnesses that saw him alive. And the fact of the matter is, most of those are still alive today, and I'm an eyewitness. Paul said that as well. I'm an eyewitness of that. And so, here's what I'm trying to say to you. The Bible makes it very clear, very plain. It is a Bible truth. And there are religions today that claim to be Christian religions that deny the resurrection. But if they deny the bodily resurrection, they must deny the resurrection of our Lord. And if they deny the resurrection of our Lord, they're denying the very religion that they say they believe in. And so Paul is getting that truth across. If you were to look in the book of Acts, and I have them all written down, Acts 1 and 22. I'll read one of them to you and give the rest of them. Beginning, they are choosing the apostle that's going to take Judas's place. And the last verse says this, beginning, or the last verse dealing with that choice, beginning from or the baptism of John until that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us, what? Of his resurrection. And then they made the appointment. And you see the same thing. They always preached the resurrection. They always brought out the fact that Jesus rose from the grave. Acts chapter 2. Let me read you one more. Acts chapter 2, verse number 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Here it is. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. They're preaching the resurrection. They mention that again in verse 30, in verse 32 of the same chapter. The last part of verse 30, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. You can see that in Acts chapter 3 and verse 15. Chapter 4 and verse 2. Chapter 4 and verse 10 and verse 33. Chapter 5 and verse 30. Chapter 10 and verse 39 and 40. Chapter 13 verse 28 and 30 and 34 and 37. Chapter 17 verses 18 and 31. And chapters 26 verses 6 through 8. Preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say a big part of the message of the early church was that our Savior resurrected from the dead. The Bible teaches that. The apostles and the early church teaches that. But in spite of that, there's all sorts of ideas about the resurrection in our chapter this morning, in the chapter we're looking at, Paul has this idea, or he's dealing with people that has this idea that there is no resurrection of the dead, and Paul is relating the resurrection of Christ to the resurrection of the dead. If you were to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, you would see that they were those who were fearful because their loved ones had died, that they had missed out on the resurrection. And you could look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and there was a couple of fellas who were teaching that the resurrection is already past. And the point I'm making is, there's all sorts of problems people encounter when it comes to this thing of the resurrection. John chapter 5 verse 29 teaches us there's a resurrection of the righteous and a resurrection of the wicked. Some never can separate that. They never get that truth. All they never get a hold of is a general resurrection. There's just error when it comes to the resurrection. What do you know about the resurrection? What do you know about that? The Apostle Paul comes to chapter number 15, and he's going to teach us some truths about this resurrection, about this bodily resurrection. We're going to have All those, matter of fact, all folks are going to be resurrected. Some are going to be resurrected at the resurrection of the dead. And some at the resurrection of the righteous or those who know the Lord. But we're all going to be resurrected. We go out and we plant a body in the ground, and I use the right word, plant, not buried. Because when you plant something, you expect it to come up one day, and that's what we're expecting, don't you see? One of these days, the Lord's coming back for His children, and they're going to come out of the grave, and that depraved body that's turned back to dust, and maybe here and there, some way, God is going to bring forth out of that corrupt, mortal body, a immortal, uncorruptible, undefiled body that's going to be joined with the soul and spirit, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, glory to God. You know why that is? All because He arose again. Well, glory to God. My, got so much here that we could deal with. Let's look in verse 14. Let me just give you a few little things, a few little truths this morning. The Bible says in verse 14, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Now, the Bible teaches us that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Here's what we preach to sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ come to this earth, took your sins upon Him, went at Calvary, suffered your punishment, was buried, and rose again. And then the Holy Spirit who's dealing with that sinner, dealing with his heart, and that sinner comes to the place that he realizes he's a no good, hell-deserving sinner. Did you know when God got through with me, I knew I deserved hell, Brother Bud. When He come to me and awakened me, I'd heard preachers preach to me all my life, but when He awakened me, I knew I was a sinner. No doubt about it, I was a sinner. I knew I deserved hell. I knew He was a Savior. I knew the only way I could escape hell was through Him. I didn't know all the truths about substitution and all that. I just knew He's the Savior. And I called out on Him and He saved me. And I've been saved all these years, not because of who I am, but because of who He is. But can I tell you that message, if our Savior did not rise from the grave, can I tell you we do not have a gospel to preach. We don't have anything to say. If you're on your way to hell today, if Jesus really didn't arise from the grave, like the Bible teaches, can I tell you, I don't have anything to say to you, sinner. All I can say is, live it up, because tomorrow you can die and go to hell. There's no other way to get to heaven outside of what Jesus did on Calvary. Oh my. Now here, I'm getting ahead of myself. But just let me get ahead of myself. I'm in verse 17. Your faith is vain. Can I tell you what you believe is vain? Can I tell you I don't have a message to preach if I'm not serving a living Savior? I don't have anything to say. Let's just go out and live it up till we die, and then we'll all go to hell and be punished forever and ever. But I'm so glad He is alive. So glad of that. You see, it's important. It's important. The resurrection's important because if it didn't exist, there's no gospel to preach. There is no good news message. We're on our way to hell. There's nothing can be done about it. There is only one way. You do believe that. Jesus said, "I am the way, No other name given under heaven. One mediator between God and man. I mean, you can get those three. You've heard me say those three verses enough. You ought to be able to get them down. I mean, if He's a dead Savior, how's He going to save you? If there's a house on fire down here, 4 or 5 kids in it. You said call the fire department. And I said to you, all them firemen, they're dead. They're dead now. You'd say this, hey, there's nobody to save them. There's nothing can be done. Hey, they're going to die. They're going to be destroyed. Can I say to you, that's how it is spiritually. If there's no Savior, if He didn't arrive, if He's a dead Savior, friend, you're on your way to hell. But I like what Paul said in verse number 20 of our text chapter. But now, right now, is Christ risen from the dead. I've got good news for you. I have a message that can help you. Because of a risen Savior. Because of a risen Savior. You see, it's a powerful message because He's alive. If he wasn't alive, there's no message. Now let's see what else it says in that text. Verse number 14. And if Christ be not risen, I guess I am on verse 14. Then is our preaching vain, your faith is vain. If I were to ask some of you how you know you're going to heaven, here's what you would say. I place my faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you wouldn't say you're trying to work your way in. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. What the Bible said, I quote it all the time, I believe it's 65, Isaiah 65, our righteousness is plural, or as filthy rags. That's what it says. But friend, I hope you trust Him in the Lord. But can I tell you, If he's dead, there's nothing to trust in. Just some dust and just some bones out there. There's no life after death. What are you going to trust in? Who's going to save you, Dre? Who's going to save you? He's going to carry you across, see you through. You see, if there's no resurrection, the preaching of the gospel is of no value. Our faith is vain. You know what Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, let me just read that to you. You don't have to turn. But here's what it says in Ephesians, and some of you can quote it. I'd probably mess it up. For by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And then it goes on to take care of them works people. Not of works, lest any man should boast. He said it's by faith. David said, blessed is man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And it's talking about the man who by faith is trusting in the Lord, you see. But can I say to you today, if there's no resurrection, your faith is vain. There's no value to your faith. You see, when you put faith in the Lord, you put faith in the Lord, and I don't know why this is so with God. I've wondered about it so much. You place faith in the Lord and His Word, He counts that for righteousness to your account. It doesn't make sense to me, Dre, that if I just believe what He said to be true, He charges righteousness to me. That doesn't make sense. It would seem like I need to work it out. But He said, you know why He won't let us work it out? Because we can't work it out. We couldn't work it out. If you take the best man on planet Earth, he could not work out and be right enough to go to heaven. My, we couldn't work it out. So God said, if you'll just believe me, I'll give you righteousness. You think about that, Brother Buck. What a deal that is. I didn't do anything but just believe what He told me to believe. He just told me about His Son, Jesus, told me what I was, told me how I could escape hell, and I just believed that, and He gave me His righteousness, washed away my sins, and made me a fit candidate for heaven. My, what a deal that is. Just by believing in His Word. Man, that's a deal. And then after that, He changed me. Hallelujah. Made me want to do right. Oh my. I didn't want to do right before I got saved. I wanted to live wicked. I wanted to sin. I wanted to live my life my way. I couldn't wait to sin again. But when God saved me, it grieves my heart when I sin.
Amen.
I don't like it anymore. It hurts me in the inside. Where I used to say, I can't wait to do it again, now I'm saying, why did I do that?
Amen.
I hate myself for saying that. Oh my. But can I tell you? You know how I got saved? Through faith. By faith. But if he didn't arise, Paul said this, our faith is vain. Did you know, I told you the story about the painter painted the Buddha, the man's house that was worship Buddha. And the man said, don't go in that room. And as soon as he left, he said, I had to look. Just human nature, I reckon, Brother Brian. He opened the door. There's two places where he said the carpet was wore out. Two places where his knees was. He was praying to Buddha. Wore the carpet out praying to a false god. But can I tell you, that man's faith is vain. He's worshiping a false god. I don't even know who it was. Rick was just telling me the story here a week or two ago. False god. Can I tell you, Jesus is dead. Your faith is vain. You don't have anything. Let me read verse 20 to you again. But now, this is what I like. This is where I camp out at. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Aren't you glad He's risen from the dead? Aren't you glad He's alive? Aren't you glad our faith is not vain? There's people that mocks us and belittles us and says we're just simple-minded folk and we're this and we're that there's nothing to this thing of serving Him. But I'm glad I know it's real today, Brother Allen. He's down on the inside. He changed my life. I've seen the Lord move in and take a drunkard and make him sober overnight. I've seen that. I've seen prostitutes whose lives were changed and drug addicts. I can tell you, God is real. I see what, you know, you say, how do you know the wind is real? You can't see it. I see the effects of it. And I know the wind is so. You say, how do you know there's a God? I've seen the effects of it. In fact, I'm a living example of what God can do with an old sinner, don't you see? Oh, let me tell you today, friend, if there's no God, if He didn't rise from the dead, if He did not rise, our faith is vain. But I've got good news for you. He's alive, and our faith is real and living and effective, and God honors it today. Well, praise His name. I'm glad I'm saved. We could read all them faith verses in Romans chapter 4. How righteousness comes by faith. John 3:16 is even a faith verse if you really get down to it. But then I want to say too, in verse number 15, Paul says this, if there's no resurrection, he says we're found false witnesses of God. Because we've testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. If there's no resurrection, friend, let me say to you, we don't have a Bible we can trust. We don't know right from wrong. If part of the Bible's wrong, we can question all of it. How do you know what part's right and what part? I can't stand people that rewrite the Bible, that start trying to tell me this is what it should be, Brother Allen. Now, I've listened to a lot of men that's very knowledgeable. They always say, well, this is what the Bible should have said. Now listen, if there's any errors in that book, we have to question all of it. That's right. We have a perfect book today. That's right. I can go over to Psalm chapter. Is it chapter 7, Brother Brian? Chapter 12, 6 and 7. Yeah. We can go over there and I can show you the Bible's a perfect book. It's perfect. If there's error in it, what part's wrong? What part's right? Oh my. But aren't you glad? Aren't you glad He's preserved the truth for us?
Amen.
I mean, if I can't trust Him to keep the truth through the ages, how am I going to trust Him to keep my soul throughout the ages? Oh my, I'm glad I've got a Bible to tell me right from wrong. If He did not arise, your Bible is a lie. That's right. That's right. You don't have... Here's what we say about the Bible. It's our final authority for truth. We don't trust the... We don't trust the universities, Brother Steve. I've been in the universities. I know the kind of men that's in there. I don't trust them. They're smart. They know a lot. But I'm not trusting them with my soul. No way. No way. I'm not trusting what somebody said. I'm not even trusting what my grandparents say. I'm not trusting anything but that pure Word of God today. That's right. If I get to heaven, the Lord says you can't come in, I'm going to say, Lord, Your Word said I could. That's exactly right. I know it ain't going to work like that, but I'm just saying if it were to, that's what I'd say. I've tried. I've tried to line up. I'm looking at Scripture and what it tells me to do to be saved, I've done it. And whether I feel saved or whether I don't feel saved or do feel saved, it doesn't matter. I've lined up with what God said I need to do to be saved. And I've called on Him and I've humbled myself and I've called out and asked Him to save me. He said if you do that, He'd save you. I did and I'm saved today, friend. But if I can't trust my Bible... If He didn't rise from the grave and the Bible's lying to me, I can't trust it. I don't have a source of truth. Some people say a marriage is between a man and a woman. The government says it's between two men or two women or a man and a woman. I hear now they're trying to get it between three people. That's what I hear, is trying to get a marriage between three people. Or maybe next it'll be four people. Maybe next they'll include some pets in it. Who's right? Who's right? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you got a Bible? I wouldn't know up from down if I didn't have a Bible. Them liars get on TV or get on the news or get on different things that's out there, the radio, and man, they could almost make a believer out of you. Isn't that so? They've got this study that proves this. And this study that proves that, but I'm glad I've got a Bible. You know what they say? Sodomy is just how you're born. Can I tell you what the Bible says? It says sodomy is a sin. That's what it says. It says it's a sin. Oh my, you say, preacher, I just don't believe that. I do. I'm a Bible believer. I believe what it says. My, if I didn't know better, they'd lead me down all kinds of different roads. But I've got a Bible. But if He didn't rise, I can't trust it because it lied to me, don't you see? This Bible's so important. So important. I'm glad. Verse 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. I'm glad He's alive, Brother Brian. I'm glad He's alive. He's alive today. My, we could just go on. Did you know if there's no resurrection? Do you know Paul's a liar if there's no resurrection? Peter's a liar. Luke. They're all liars. There's no resurrection. The Lord Himself would have lied if there's no resurrection. But I'm glad there is. Did you know if there's no resurrection, those who have died in Christ have perished? Let's see what verse 18 says. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Junior's not here this morning, but he won't mind me mentioning it. A week or two ago, we carried his 42-year-old son out to a cemetery and put him in a hole in the ground and covered up the ground and walked away. And the only comfort, there's several things that can comfort, I guess. Certainly his healing was a comfort. But one of the comforts that they have as they walk off and leave that family member there in the cemetery, that there's coming a day he's going to come out of there in a resurrected body. Oh my, I think about my dad's been gone 25 years. Sometime I miss him awful, awful bad, brother Bud. But one of these days, coming out of there, it's coming out, your loved ones is coming out. Brother Allen, that old grandpa that you're so proud of and live for God, one of these days, he's coming out of there, he didn't perish. It wasn't in vain. Oh no, you know why? Because our Savior was the first fruits. He come out. Because He came out, they're going to come out one of them. It's going to be a better day. Oh, you say, why is it going to be a better day? Because our Savior arose, those that died in the Lord are going to arise one of these days. I don't know about you, but that comforts my soul. That comforts my soul. Let me see where we're at here. Verse number 18 is where I got to, wasn't it? Then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Verse 20, he corrects it though. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Hallelujah. I want you to notice verse 19. Here's what it said in verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Hey, did you know if He didn't arise from the grave, we have no joy. Nothing to joy in. I mean, really, what's this earth got to offer you? Just stop and think about it. What if you had $1 million? What would it matter? I'm 62 years old. I'll be gone probably. If I'm just have good luck, I'll probably live another 15 years. Hopefully I will. 10. Hopefully with good luck I'll live that long before my body just wears out. You know, one of the only things that brings me joy is that when I die, I have another life to live. In fact, life just starts. In fact, the matter, it just begins when you die. Life just begins for the child of God. This is really just a getting ready place. We're pilgrims. You know what a pilgrim is? He's a traveler. We're just traveling through here for a little while. We're strangers. I don't fit in this world. When I hear some of the things that they're teaching today, it doesn't, or declaring today, it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, it doesn't make sense to protect a killer and to make their victims a victim. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to save these endangered species and murder our little babies in the abortion clinics. I can't get it. I can't put all that together. I can't wrap my head around that. And my, what does this world have? Just troubles and trials and tribulation and problems. I mean, what is here? Why would anybody want to stay here forever? I thought about old Charlie Currier. I used to drive him back and forth to church. You know what old Charlie would say to me? I don't want to live 20 more years. There ain't no telling what this world's going to be like then. Can I tell you, God honored him, took him out of here. And I'm not a guy that's all about let's just kill ourselves and there's no, I enjoy this life. But can I tell you, you look at sodomy today, it's after our children. It's after our children. The sodomites are after our children. Don't you understand that? And if it's going to come to the place, if we say anything, it's going to be a hate crime and you're going to be jailable for it. They're after our children. What's our children have? What's the future hold for them? I'll tell you what it holds. Jesus. That's our future. That's all I've got. That's all I've got in death is Jesus. Him and the hope that I have of a better place one of these days. I'm going to a place where He's going to wipe away all tears. You ever think about that? Sometimes things just upset us. We're so broken. We're so troubled. We can't figure it out. But can I tell you, one of these days, we're going to step off on the other side on the sunny banks of sweet deliverance. And there we're going to be throughout the ceaseless ages. And He's going to wipe all tears from our eyes. And there's not going to be any sorrow and no pain. Can you imagine never having sorrow? Never having pain? No troubles, no problems. You say, preacher, why is that? Why is that? That's what gives me joy down here. Hey, you know why I can face tomorrow? We sung the song. Brother Allen, because He's alive today. Hey, if He wasn't alive and this thing was on automatic pilot and we was depending on the Democrats and the Republicans and the leaders and the Arab nations and all them to work it out, Brother Bud, I'd go crazy. But I'm glad God's in control. Oh, and the reason He's in control is because He's alive today. Oh my. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. Really, if there was no resurrection, you have no source of true joy. No source of true joy today. My. In Revelation 21 and 4, I talked about it. It teaches us that it's a land of no tears. No death. No death there. No death. No sorrow, no crying, no pain. And here's what it says, for the former things are passed away. They're gone. You know why? You know why we can go there? Because He arose from the grave. Oh my. My, He conquered. See, what His rising from the grave says is He conquered death. Death couldn't hold Him. He is life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's life. I believe with all my heart that Jesus, because He is the life, could have allowed life to have lived in a skeleton if He wanted to. If He wanted to. You can go over and read about that valley of dry bones and you can see, of course, that's a picture of Israel. We know that. But He's life. Life conquered death. Conquered death. That's why we can live. Had death conquered life, death would have conquered us. That's right. That's right. You see, if there's no resurrection, our joy is vain today. But because He lives, verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. You see, really, to the child of God, The Lord is everything. He's everything. Now really, you're sitting on the church pew this morning, those of you that say, many of you, because of what the Lord did for you. Many of you be on a bar stool or down at the lake trying to catch you a bass or out in the woods trying to kill you a turkey or whatever the world does at the Coliseum or at the where they play football, basketball, baseball at the stadiums and all. You'd be in all, somewhere in all them places trying to find happiness. But you found the true source of happiness today. That's the Lord. That's the Lord. Well, He's everything to us. You realize if there's no resurrection, we don't have anything. But because there is a resurrection, we have a Savior. We have a Savior. What good's a dead Savior? How's He going to save you if He's dead? We have a living Savior. We have a Bible that's true. We have a true Bible. We have hope. We have hope because He lives. We have hope. We have a way to God. We have a way we can get to God because He lives. We have an intercessor. You know what an intercessor is? When you're not praying for yourself, He's praying for you. Or when you're praying wrongly, He prays rightly for you. He's interceding for you. Here's what really needs. Here, Lord, what we need to do for them or for him or her. Intercessor, we have a high priest. We have a high priest we can go to who's been touched, who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Say, preacher, I just can't hardly go on. I can't take it anymore. And I can say, well, I sure pray for you. But can I tell you, you can go to Jesus and He can hurt with you. Now, when Mary and Martha was crying over Lazarus, Jesus was getting ready to raise Lazarus from the dead. He wasn't worried about Lazarus staying dead, Brother Allen. He knew he was going to raise him. But he started crying too. He wasn't crying because Lazarus was dead. You know why he was crying? Because he was touched with their feelings. It touched him. That's exactly right. And when you go to him with your feelings, it touches our Savior. I've went with him. If you've had children problems or health problems or financial problems or family problems or mental problems, whatever they are, I just went to him and said, I just can't hardly handle it. Lord, would you help me? Can I tell you, that touches him. That touches him. Aren't you glad we've got a Savior that can be touched with our feelings of our infirmities? My, without a risen Savior, we wouldn't have that, a high priest. I'm glad because He's rose, we've got a throne of grace. We've got a place to go to find help. You say, preacher, I need help. I can tell you where it's at. Those of you that saved, it's at the throne of grace. There's help there. Because He arose, we have a throne of grace. Because He arose, we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We read those scriptures and don't even think about them. We've got a friend that sticks closer than any other friend we've ever had. We sing that song, He's the dearest friend ever had. We sing it, I don't think we realize what we're singing, Brother Allen. Man, we ain't never had a friend like Jesus. Because He's alive, we have an advocate. That's in 1 John. We have an advocate. That's an attorney. That's a lawyer. See, the old devil, you know what the Bible says the devil is? The accuser of the brethren. The accuser. I don't understand how all that works, but he comes before God and accuses the brethren. But I'm glad we've got an attorney. I like what old Brother Billy Rickard says, and I'm glad I've got an attorney. I'm glad he knows the judge. In fact, he's kin to the judge. And he said, when you've got an attorney that knows the judge and kin to the judge, you're just about sure you're going to win every time. That's what old Billy said. I believe that's so. But I know with Jesus, our advocate, we're going to win every time, Brother Bud. Because He lives, we have an advocate. We have a comforter. He said, if I go away, He never could have went away had He not been alive. He said, if I go away, I'll send you another comforter. We've got a coming King. We talk about, we rejoice. We rejoice in the fact. We'll talk about, and on His thigh was written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. And we'll shout it out over that. And rightfully so. That's something to shout about. But can I say, had He not rose again, we don't have a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But He is alive. He is alive. You see, what I've been trying, I've got a whole list of a protector, a provider. Because He's alive, we have one to protect us. Brother Brian talked about Hebrews 13. He said, we don't have to fear man because he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Don't have to fear man. A provider, a forgiver. We have a future. We have an inheritance. We have acceptance. My, you could just go on. Everything you have spiritually is because of Him. Now, I could go over there and talk about all the promises in God are in Him. Yea and amen over in Corinthians somewhere. I should have looked it up, I guess. My, you know where our blessings come from? In Him. And if He's dead, we don't have any source of blessings. We have nothing. We have nothing. You see, the resurrection, it is the cornerstone. It's the cornerstone, the crucifixion. It all goes together. But if there's no resurrection, can I tell you, We have no hope today. But I've got good news for you. I'm going to close. Got good news for you. You know what I preach? Preach a lot. I preach to sinners and say, hey, if the Holy Spirit of God's dealing with your heart, you can be saved today. If you'll humble yourself and agree with God that you're a no good, hell deserving sinner and sick of the way you're living and turn to Him and believe in what Jesus did on Calvary, died and paid the price, shed His blood for your sins, was buried, rose again. That's what I tell sinners. I say to sinners, if you believe that, you can be saved. You know why that is? Because He's alive today. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to say that same thing that I just said today. If you're here and you're lost, and the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with your heart, you can be saved today. If you're here and you're not where you ought to be with the Lord, you've lost your joy and you're not happy, and really you're putting on a facade and you're acting happy, but you're really not, can I tell you, He'll give you joy today. You know why? Because He's alive. And can I say this? If you need help today, you can come right down here to these prayer benches. Get down here and pray and approach the throne of grace and find help in time of need. Sister King, you just go ahead and play. I don't know if God's speaking to anybody's heart. I just don't know. But I'm telling you this, we've got a risen Savior, a living Savior that can help you if you need help today.